Send a movie idea.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory.
The Dream Factory!
The world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. Here at the Dream Factory, the rules are simple. They're so simple. There aren't any rules. We can discuss as many film ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage of the Dream Factory. There's two stages of the Dream Factory where the winning film idea that's pitched will be used as a 30-minute instructional video that goes out at 9:30 every weekday morning. I'm Joel. A man who puts the limbo in, aren't we in a terrifying state of limbo at the moment? And across from me is John Harris, who is appearing topless before me in a video chat. John, how have you managed to find a tattoo artist during the lockdown?
Doing it myself with a biro and some knives. over 100 episodes and we've yet to get to the next stage. You wait till the next stage happens, listener.
We've got big plans for the next stage. I think it was 250 episodes of Dream Factory, and then we progress to the next stage, which is 1,000 episodes. Yeah, the next stage is going to be glorious. The production levels we've got planned for the next stage.
Yeah. And the guests.
Oh, some of the guests we've booked.
Joel and I are replaced by actually good, humorous people. It's pretty mad.
We've booked two big-name American comedians to play us at the next stage. And John and I are just going to become the money men.
Absolutely.
We're going to be the money guys. But we're still in the initial stage, John, so that means we've got to pitch some films. Here's one from Ben. The Pledge. Apparently there's a film called The Pledge.
Okay.
I'd never heard of it before, but I've just Googled it. And it's got your man in it.
Yep, I know him.
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah, fine. That's who I was thinking of.
Sean Penn. Is it?
Yeah, Jack Nicholson. Because he is my man.
And it's called The Pledge. And he says, it's about a detective who asks for a cold... This is his fictional idea. Asks for a cold case to be reopened after finding out that the crime scenes have all been cleaned with Pledge.
Hey, that's not bad. I just don't know how you're going to... If it's sufficiently pledged, will you be able to find any prints?
Well, this podcast is sponsored by Pledge, and yeah. We'd just like to say that Pledge is such a good cleaning product that you can cover up any murder.
In a former life, Joel and I did a podcast where we tried to watch the worst 100 films ever made on the Internet Movie Database. And when we tell people that, their first question is, was there a film that was by far the worst? And the
answer is
Pledge This, which is a Paris Hilton film. But we could do a version where it's Paris Hilton cleaning?
That's quite... Pledge This. No, it'd be her telling people to clean her house, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I try and expunge Pledge This from my sponge. An item you'd use with Pledge from my memory because it's so bad and like really nastily bad. I only ever think about it when you bring it up, which makes me think it's like at the front of your mind all the time.
Most of the time, it had such
a chilling effect.
Yeah. I wake up with cold sweats thinking about Paris Hilton talking about how thin she is. Right. So how would he, you know, black lights when they blacklight something and you can see like crime stuff? Is that Pledge resistance? Could that
Maybe
be the solution?
Is. Maybe it could be, yeah. So the guy, there's a serial killer going around who is also kind of like Mr. Muscle. And
Perfect.
He's just so good at cleaning up crime scenes. Barry Scott is a serial killer. Barry Scott is a psychotic serial killer. And he's using Kill It Bang to kill his targets. And he's killing other cleaning product mascots. So he kills Mr. Muscle. He kills the toilet duck. He strangles the toilet duck. No, he force feeds the toilet duck like foie gras.
He force feeds that to
bleach.
Mr. Muscle.
Yeah, he feeds bleach foie gras to Mr. Muscle and kills it. He kills the little frog from Can Do. Do you remember Can Do?
Oh, fucking hell. It's a very French dinner he's making, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Frog's legs and foie gras all bleached up. Cleaning products. I don't know of many other cleaning product mascots.
When
do
you said no, there's that One Sheet guy now, isn't there, who's like...
One Sheet, yeah.
Yeah, for the paper towels. When you said Mr. Muscle, which version?
Oh, the sad little cherub on Fairy Liquid. That's sad when Barry Scott kills a child. But
so Fairy Liquid has always been this cherub child, and now they're advertising this like degreaser with this like is still a baby, but he's like wearing a leather jacket, and he's like, "All right, Grease, I've had enough of you." And
is it that giant baby from Twitter?
No, we're not getting into that. Don't Google giant baby on Twitter, or do, but just let's not. We're not having that conversation. But yeah, Mr. Muscle. There's two Mr. Muscles, isn't there? There's like scrawny man, and then there's genuinely muscly Mr. Muscle. In our lifetime, they change. It's like when Captain Birdseye went from being like the stereotype cartoony character to being a hunky old man.
Yeah, he is quite sexy now, isn't he?
He's really hunky.
What about Mr. Sheen in his little pilot's outfit?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Mr. Sheen and Pledge would have a very... That would be a heated beef, because I feel like they cover the same areas, don't they?
They cover the same surfaces. Yeah. I think this is quite a good idea.
Honestly, this isn't Joel's just... Joel hasn't gone, all right, John, can you spend 10 minutes talking about the former project we had? But there was another thing that we watched in that, where it was... It was an animated film based in a supermarket.
Holy shit! Yeah,
and they had some of the mascots for food products in it, and it's awful again. And it wasn't released for like 15 years. I can't think what it was called.
Fuck! What was that? That was so bad.
And it is about a murder in a supermarket as well, I believe, and they are investigating it. So it's actually we've just kind of gone for a more cleaning specific one, and our film would be good, unlike theirs. So that is slightly different.
Oh mate, our film would be amazing.
I can't remember what that film's called, but it's not good.
I'm obviously looking, trying to find out what it was. Is it Food Fight?
Maybe it's.
Yeah, I mean, Food Fight's got 1.5 on IMDb. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, it had that weird dog who looks like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, and it and the animation was like incomplete.
Oh, the animation is unbelievable.
And there was like a squirrel that flew an airplane, I think. Yeah.
That's my film. That's my Saturday night film sorted. Can't wait to spring that on the other half. Amazing.
That's that done. What about this one from Gareth? Tango and Cash in the Attic.
Okay, explain to me what Tango and Cash is.
After two distinguished detectives are wrongfully framed for a murder by a criminal, they are imprisoned. When they manage to escape, they join hands to fight against their offender. Now, that Tango and Cash and the description of the thing makes me think of like a Sunday night procedural kind of detective-y thing.
Yeah.
But it's an 80s buddy cop film starring Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good? It sounds like it should have a dog sidekick in it.
Yeah. Which one's the dog? Tango? No, I guess and Cash. You'd say, is Cash the dog? No, Tango's the dog.
Maybe they're both dogs.
Yeah, well, when we take this one to Hollywood, we're like, all right, here's the twist. They're both the sidekick dog.
we're going to remake Tango and Cash, but everyone's a dog.
Yeah, Tango and Cash in the Attic. So... they've got to be some sort of, you know, treasure in an attic somewhere that's worth a baddie framing people for murder. And
yes.
So they frame someone for murder. They go, they sneak in, get the cash in the attic. Maybe it's in some sort of safe, so there's some sort of sense of tension.
I know he's not Cash in the Attic, but David Dickinson could be quite a good villain, I think.
Yes. So for the for anyone who doesn't know who David Dickinson is, he is the host of a rival TV show. Which one is it? Bargain Hunt.
Bargain Hunt. But yeah, but he's just pretty big on the general antique bargain scene.
Yeah, and he is an older man with bright white big hair and orange skin.
I mean, a remarkable complexion of a man.
Absolutely. Yeah,
He was doing that so long before Donald Trump.
Oh yeah. Trump came to the UK to do some golf in Scotland. He just happened to have BBC Two on, saw Dickinson and thought, this is my look.
This guy's got it.
Absolutely.
I don't know what it is. Oh my God.
What?
I share a birthday with David Dickinson.
Wow. Well, listen.
We were born in the same year. No, 16th of August, 1941 he was born. Fair play.
Fair play, Dickinson. I've always thought that you guys.
Oh, that's really pleased me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might get some bronzer.
My one's Jay-Z, and he's written a song about our birthday and everything.
Yeah, obviously, there's cooler people that share a birthday with me. I think Madonna's one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not going. You'll have a shit celebrity that shares your birthday. Jay-Z is great, though. You've really nailed it with that one.
Madonna's been having an interesting lockdown. I don't know if you've seen those videos.
It's actually, that's kind of what all of us 16th of August guys have been up to. She's just the most well-known. Me and David Dickinson have also been having similar baths. they're just not getting as big big coverage.
What about this one from Lizzie? Tooth extraction. Have you seen or have you heard about this Chris Hemsworth Netflix?
Shit, man. You also share a birthday with Jeff Bridges.
Hey.
That's pretty cool. I've heard about extraction. It's a lot of action, not much else. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, so I assume they're getting someone out of a building. It's one of those kind of bang, bang, shooty, Call of Duty. Bang, bang, shooty, Call of Duty kind of films. So I'm thinking Chris Hemsworth is a dentist.
You're welcome to think that.
Maybe like there's like a bomb in someone's mouth. That seems like it could. Good. So he has to take the tooth out to disarm the bomb, and maybe terrorists are breaking into the dentist. Wait! Hey, the patient is the president. The patient is the president.
Good. That's better. Thank God.
The president wakes up, and in some sort of weird saw-like situation, he's found out that there's a bomb in his mouth, and Chris Hemsworth has to shoot terrorists whilst taking his tooth out.
Perfect. That's great.
Oh, I'm pleased with that.
Hey, John, if you'd had all the numbing injections in your mouth and you had to tell someone that it was sore, what would that sound like? You'd say Thor, wouldn't you? You'd say my mouth's quite Thor. Moving on.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We've had these two in, and I can't remember if we've done these ones before. So
hit me.
Tom says, Ocean's 12 Angry Men.
Ocean's 12 Angry Men. I'm going to say we haven't done that one.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Tom, for having an original thought, which is something I haven't done with regards to this podcast in, I would say, 18 months. Ocean's 12 Angry Men. So it's, I reckon, the guys from Ocean's 12 all called up to jury service. So you know where they get the gang together? The best thing about all of those films is getting the gang back together, right?
Yeah.
The best thing about any heist film or any ensemble film is getting the
Don
gang
Cheadle.
Together.
Yeah, sorry.
That's generally true though, isn't it?
It's always
the best bit. Always the best bit. And they actually do that really well in the Ocean's films, I think. So this one, they've all been separated for ages after a crime, and they coincidentally all of them get called up for jury service.
Nice.
And they're all on the same jury. Yeah.
And
they use the time to plan a heist of, there's some sort of rare judge's wig in this courtroom that they want to nick.
Yeah.
And but so they prolong it seems like an open and shut case, but they prolong it so that they can do more scheming.
The other great thing, particularly about the first Ocean's movie, is that it's like a magic trick. You think it's going wrong, you think it's going one way, then it all turns out that they all knew the things that were going to go wrong went wrong and blah blah blah. So this, I think, it has to kind of be a bit like that as well. So maybe only George Clooney's character knows, but someone needs to know and have arranged for them, because I mean it's mad for them to all be on jury duty together. So one of them has to have arranged it because they know about the wig and they kind of fake it out, and they know Don Cheadle would accidentally spill the beans, so they don't tell him, but he's somehow implicit in some way. And then by the end they have this incredible wig and they've swapped it out for some cheap one, and credits, I guess.
Exactly.
And Brad Pitt eats at the beginning of every scene, but instead of all the other films where he does that, by the end he's really fat.
And also this one from Chris on this theme of have we done it before, Me, Myself and I, Robot.
See, that one rings more of a bell.
Yeah,
we've definitely discussed iRobot because, you know, it's one of the classics. Oh, no, I think I remember us talking about it, and we thought it was like incredibly smart at the time. And it's probably not that clever.
Oh yeah, when it came out, I was blown away by it.
Yeah,
I thought this is cinema.
Even just like the rules of robotics within it, I just thought that's so clever that the third rule, if it interferes with the second rule, it'll blow. Oh.
Never kiss a robot. Never kiss a robot. That's the third rule, isn't it? Don't fall in love with a robot. But I was actually thinking, just purely based on that, because obviously Me, Myself and Irene is a comedy. Will Smith doesn't really do funny films anymore.
Yeah, and he's a funny man.
I think the last funny film he did was probably, well, it's not funny, but Men in Black 3.
Well, I think the thing is, pure comedy probably isn't as much of a financial guarantee as a blockbuster.
No, of course. But that's kind of... that's what he did. Also, there's a weird 4-year gap on Will Smith's CV. He didn't make a film between 2008 and 2012. Do you find that quite hard to believe?
That does seem crazy. What was he
doing? That's mad, isn't it? So he did Hancock and £7 in 2008.
Yeah.
And then he didn't do anything until Men in Black 3, 4 years later.
Yeah, what was he doing?
That is mad. If you know, tweet us. What was Will Smith up to for 4 years? 4 years! That feels like when he was like... riding high as well.
Did he release?
I mean, he's sort of always been riding high, hasn't he? Did he release some music or for 4 years?
Yeah. Did he release Switch and just?
No, Switch is way before that, isn't it?
Switch is late career Will Smith rapping. It's probably his last rap album.
I reckon Switch is like 2003.
Okay.
Hey, right. So, Will Smith. I'm well into this now. Will Smith. This is what he did. Men in Black 2, Bad Boys 2, I, Robot, Shark Tale, Hitch, Pursuit of Happiness, I Am Legend, Hancock, £7, then nothing for 4 years. Now, say what you like about those films. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, but they were all enormous films, really, weren't they?
Yeah, that is really...
so weird.
There must be a clickbaity article somewhere saying, what did Will Smith do for 4 years?
Yeah.
And then you click on it and it'll be like 4 pages explaining what Will Smith is before they tell you what's happened in that time.
Would gladly read it. Will Smith 2008 to 2012. Where Will Smith went wrong is the top article. Will Smith's career has gone seriously downhill. These are all really damning of Will Smith, but none of them answer the question.
Yeah, because the thing about what your point, like some people would say, like Hancock and £7 weren't like his best work. So that might be their point. But yeah, for him to have to take 4 years off because he made two not top quality films seems a bit strong.
I think people like £7, don't they?
Maybe. Are we going to spend the next 10 to 20 minutes talking about Will Smith, or shall we do just a couple more film ideas, Joel?
Let's do a couple more film ideas, if you insist.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be thinking about Will Smith the whole time. What about this one from Matthew, Spider-Man? Is he swinging by his hair or something? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, is he a horse spider?
Interesting. What
is that interesting?
A horse spider. What's a horse... Wait.
I've made it up.
You've just said some stuff.
Well, I was thinking about a horse fly.
Or like a...
Have you ever seen a horse fly?
Is this a joke?
Not...
That is such a dad joke. It's like, give it wings. What's a horse with wings called? Pegasus. Sorry.
The horse flies are really, really fucking gross, man. And what? I think they can really hurt you.
They're like a painful bite, aren't they? But
yeah.
I didn't know they're
scary.
I didn't know they're specifically disgusting in the world of flies. I didn't know there were, like, tiers of attractiveness.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. Have you not seen my spreadsheet? I thought you came to my TED talk.
So is it a man? Is it like a man or woman, Spider-Man? Is it like a Tangled situation where they've got like long hair they can swing off buildings with? Or is it a horse that's been bitten by a spider who then has superpowers?
Yeah, it's that one. And it wears a little mask to conceal its horse identity. But they do wear masks, horses, don't they?
Famously.
When they're racing. They do when they race. Blinders, blinkers.
Blinkers. Well, they're not masks. To stop them, yeah. What? Seeing the other horses?
Yeah. Just to keep them on the straight and narrow, mate.
Do you how good do you think you'd be at telling horses apart out of interest? Based purely on face.
Could I recognise a horse? I don't think I could.
No, neither.
I don't think there's any horse I could recognise. Not from face. Maybe from gesture and language and connection, but...
Do you think people who are like well into horses, if you showed them a famous horse, they'd be like, yeah, that's Red Rum or whatever it was called?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
Hey, I've got a horse anecdote that I'll tell.
Go for it.
As a post-credits treat. So stick around for that. Hey, John, have you got any more film ideas?
What about this one from Matt? Knives Out for Free Willy. When the beloved whale Willy winds up dead on the beaches of Seattle, a heartbroken, brackets now adult, Jesse reaches out to Benoit Blanc to investigate the killer, and it ain't climate change.
Yeah, well into that. I want more Benoit Blanc. I'd like Benoit Blanc for Daniel Craig to do more Benoit Blanc than he eventually does James Bond. Like, I
that would
love
be
that
good.
Film. I'd love like a full Agatha Christie style Benoit Blanc Batcat in the end.
I would
love
like
that film so much.
I would like it to get to the point where I'm not thinking about his death yet, but when he does pass, I want the
Benoit
first
Blanc
line yeah,
actor,
of the obituary.
Yes. I want him to become typecast as a Midwest detective. Benoit Blanc gets into animal crime. I'm all over it. Not enough films about animal crime. I'm always banging that drum.
Yeah.
Ace Ventura and now Benoit Blanc. That's it.
I assume in this film we have a situation where the whale is, you think it's been killed by some sort of anti-environmentalist types. So it feels like a big political thing. But then at the end, Benoit finds out it's like someone who just doesn't like Jesse, the kid from Free Willy.
Yeah. Yes. Perfect.
Brilliant. Well, should we move on to our own ideas?
Okay. Here's mine. Old Boy. It's an ultra-violent retelling of Big, or whatever one of those films, Benjamin Button. Big, it's Big. Tom Hanks is a boy that gets old and he kills people and it's really visceral.
Kid, wait, so...
He's an old boy, right?
Yeah, so...
In Big, he's an old boy. In Old Boy, I don't know, there's lots of murdering.
Do they ever explain him? I haven't seen Big since I was a child, since I was little. And I don't... Do they explain, will he eventually... Was he born and that... Or is he just... What's happened? Why is he like that?
It's like some magic, isn't it?
Oh. Did he start off a kid in the film? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's just magicked into an adult.
You don't just get introduced into this guy. How would the film explain that? So there'd be like a fucking opening text crawl like Star Wars. You didn't enter the world where... Because that would just be like a mental illness, right? You wouldn't just enter a world of a fully grown man who behaves like a child.
Or
that's not like a fun knockabout comedy.
Or it opens with a doctor just aghast as Tom Hanks comes out of a lady.
I think he gets like... It's a wish or some sort of magic or a lamp or something.
A classic family film, Freaky
And he
Friday
goes back
by.
To being a kid.
Okay. So it's
yeah,
not
you're
like...
thinking of something really much more horrific than the actual film.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that Robin Williams one where the guy
oh
ages
my God.
Super quick.
Oh my God, when at the end he's like 100 years old at his graduation.
Awful.
Fucking hell, don't let me think about that.
We've discussed that film a few times before on here. I think it has scarred both of us quite weirdly.
That film is deeply, deeply traumatic in ways that I'm not willing to investigate.
Directed by the director of the Godfather trilogy, weirdly.
And I stand by it. It's his best work.
Right. So he's a boy who has a wish and becomes old and then just beats the shit out of people.
Yeah, because he's super young and feeble, and yeah. He wishes that he could take on the bullies. And when I say he takes them on, holy shit, he murders them really brutally.
There's also opportunity feels like the wrong word, and I'm about to do an old boy spoiler. So if you haven't seen that, apologies. There's an opportunity here for some sort of, because there's mistaken incest in Old Boy, and there's definitely something that could be done with that. So, listener, just think about what you could do with that. Would you like my idea?
Yeah.
What about this one from me? Richard and Judge Judy.
Good. I love it.
It just sounds like an excellent daytime TV format. I'm not sure Hollywood will take it.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing You Say We Pay. They're doing what, the book club?
Yeah.
I like it.
And that's it. I don't think we need to embellish much more on that one. We can move on to the bit where we pick a winner, but we don't pick a winner, and then the bit where we play some music and we just chat.
Hey, what's the winner? I think the winner is the Barry Scott serial killer.
Yeah, started strong.
That was lots of fun. It started really strong, and it was really tailed off immediately. But if you disagree with that and you enjoyed it all the way through, why not give us 5 stars on iTunes? Subscribe, tell your friends, do a tweet about it.
Send an idea.
Send an idea. We need ideas. I don't know if you've taken that from the last 20-odd minutes of content, but bloody hell, are we short of ideas. Send us some ideas on Twitter or just shout them in the street. We'll find them. Thank you very much. And stay tuned till after the credits for what I've built up to be too good an anecdote about horses. Hey, John.
Hello.
Good episode. Well done, mate. I thought you were good.
Thank you. Normally at this bit, I write, like, if I've had anything of interest happen to me in the week, I'll, like, write it at the end of my notes for the episode. And all I've got written is, what is time? Question mark. Because I was thinking about the week that's just passed, and, like, it just doesn't, like, there's literally nothing to it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about everything that happened, and I was like, no, that was before this week. I don't know what I did in the last 7 days, so...
No, man. Have you found any entertainment? Have you watched anything good?
I'm actually enjoying The Mandalorian, and weirdly, even though everyone was annoyed that it's come out weekly, actually, in this state that we're in, it's quite nice to have a thing to look forward to once a week.
Yeah.
I haven't done the last episode yet, so that's going to be a little treat for me at some point over the next couple of days. But yeah. Yeah, and just some Switch game. I've been playing a lot of Super Mario Maker 2, which is fun, but it's kind of
I might get it.
It's really, really fun, but like you're kind of just like playing people's levels, so there's no like
progression.
Yeah, so I'm not like desperate to play it when I'm not playing it in the same way that you would like a big narrative game that you'd be like progressing through. What about you?
Okay, Call of Duty. I'm so bad at it. So bad at it. People are just. I can't believe how good people are. It makes you feel really old. I think you do reach an age. I remember listening to a podcast where they talked about this before, where there is actually a peak age of being good at video games. And then that's why like all of the world's best, like, what's it called? Players like PUBG and Fortnite. They're all like teenagers.
Esports.
Yeah. Esports stuff. Cause like mid twenties onwards, you actually just slow down and you can't
hand eye coordination.
You can't do it as quick. And I feel 1,000 years old. And then I see videos on Twitter and Reddit and stuff. And the stuff, the quick thinking of people and the stuff they're doing, I just think, I'm like every time trying to remember what the button is to open a box. And they're like, these people are like jumping in a helicopter, then they're getting the helicopter trajectory just right, and then they're attaching C4 to the helicopter and jumping out of it, and then the helicopter flies into a group of people and blows them all up. And I'm honestly like taking 10 minutes to switch between guns.
If someone
walks into a room and I've got the jump on them, I need them to not see me for about 20 seconds to be able to kill them, because I'll like just shoot and it'll be like, have you seen Ali G and the House?
Yes.
There's a dream sequence at the start of Ali G and the House where some gangbangers pull up to do a drive-by on him and they shoot perfectly around his outline.
Yeah.
And not a single bullet hits him. And it's exactly like that on Call of Duty. And then they'll just slowly turn around after I've honestly like fired like 50 rounds at them, and they'll just shoot me in the head and I'll be dead. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm so bad at it.
Yeah, the second I get even slightly stressed in a video game, I forget what every button does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you're just like looking at the ceiling, running circles. Yeah.
I've a I've agreed. Well, we've agreed to play some Rocket League, which is a game that totally baffles me in a bit. So that
that's a game where physics, there's no rules. It makes no sense. It's so tough.
You're playing football, but you're a car.
It's proper Alan Partridge dictaphone stuff, that, isn't it? Car football. Anyway, horse.
Yes.
When I was at uni, John, we were both on the same student radio station. I set out to do a fun feature where I did things for the first ever time.
Yeah.
And one of those things was horse riding. And I had a friend who did horse riding quite a lot. He's someone I used to work with. And they were like, cool, come and learn to ride a horse. And I did that. I was too tall and too big for any of the horses. they didn't have a helmet that fit me, so it looked like I was just wearing a little cap on the back of my head. They had to get a horse out of retirement. Get this right. So the main aim was that I was going to compete at these big events. They had it's called badminton. I never understand why. It's called badminton, isn't it?
What?
Like a horse get-together competition is called badminton. Never really understood that.
Weird.
Anyway, so I was going to compete at the opening level of that. And I did lots of training. They got this horse out of retirement for one last competition, and the horse was called Rocky.
Lovely.
That's the stuff of dreams. So me and Rocky really bonded. We were running around doing all this stuff, and I had to. It got to competition day, and it was a big day. And I would say there were probably 100 people there watching these badminton trials, and it was going up to a pretty high standard level of awards. And there were these independent judges came down to hand out the rosettes or whatever. And in my category, which was entry level, it was me, probably 21, and a 7-year-old girl competing against each other.
Yes.
And it came to it, and I hadn't really practiced. You had to go around a course, and at the beginning level, so you know these courses, normally you have to do there's jumps and stuff. Well, at the very beginning level, they just remove the pole from the jump and put it on the floor, and you just have to step over a pole on the floor. But there was this woman there who was in charge of the judging, and she was so by the book. She was the only way you can win a rosette is if you do a jump at the end. You have to do a jump. And so they did it at the lowest bar, which was 2 foot off the ground or whatever. So anyway, I did the course, ran round, trotted around the course. The first time I did it, the horse just fucking walked off to the left and started eating grass, and they let me go again. Anyway, I did the course, and I was really nervous. I did the jump. I completed the course. Everyone cheered. And then the girl, the 7-year-old girl, did it, and she didn't make the jump. And then I had to claim the winning rosette.
Oh no!
Competition against the 7-year-old girl.
Fucking hell!
And my whole family went to watch it because they thought it was the stupidest thing they'd ever heard of, and they thought it would be fun to kind of laugh at me.
Of course.
And then this little girl's whole family were there to cheer her on. It was really sad, and I won it.
Oh mate, that is awful.
Still pride of place in my.
Of course, you're wearing it right now.
I'm wearing the big rosette right now.
An early detail in that story is the fact that you were too tall for any of the horses. Now, you're not Stephen Merchant, Joe. You're not you're a tall man, but you're an average tall.
I'm 6'1".
Yeah,
but I just don't think the stables have many people that weren't 5'8" and 9" women that rode horses. They just didn't really have any. None of the horses that competed were big. They had big horses in the Rocky that just chilled out. But none of them. There aren't many that I'm aware of. They just weren't. They just didn't have these horses to hand.
Amazing.
And I had. And maybe I'm a tallish guy, but I have got an enormous head. So the helmet detail, that was really embarrassing. They just couldn't find a helmet that would fit my head.
That's how we knew that we'd get on, Joel. I think inherently we knew our massive heads would mean that we'd get on. We're both enormous heads.
Big brains. Big brains.
Right, should we go get beaten by some people on the internet at car football?
Yes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.